Thanks for hanging out. We're glad to have you guys sticking with us, not just now, but over the years, right, Don?
Yeah, absolutely. Over 10 years.
It's over 11, isn't it?
Over 11.
Ava?
Well, I've been here for 8.
I'm pretty sure we're going on
11 or 12.
12?
We'll look.
We need to look, because that's pretty darn, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But in all those years, we certainly appreciate you guys checking us out and checking out Facebook. Like us, please. And, of course, thevalleyoutdoors.com. I got it all taken care of for
Thank
you guys,
you.
So you didn't have to stretch.
I was ready.
Pull a muscle or anything doing that. I'm here for you guys. That's what I'm here for.
Well, now the stress is out of it.
No more stress. You're good. You're good. Stress-wise, there's no stress in this. We're looking at the deer harvest, and from Minnesota side of it, the DNR online stats say that they're up over what 2024 was, and looks pretty good, Don, I got to say. Total firearms harvest is about 100,000 deer. As of Monday, this last Monday, the registered total deer harvest is just shy of 172,000. And in 2024, a year ago, that's when they report it, the total was 170,679. Now, keep in mind, though, Don, muzzleloader harvest has not been included yet, and they get about 8,600 deer in the muzzleloader side of it.
In Minnesota. Right.
Right. So what may impact that is early ice, quickly ice also development, which generally has a tendency to pull deer hunters away and push them out onto the ice. Obviously, be safe, everybody, because that's a big challenge, as the saying goes. We don't want to have that going on. And also coming up, actually today and tomorrow, the ice show is going on in St. Paul. Yeah, ice fishing show.
Oh, God, ice fishing show.
That's usually in January, isn't
gotcha.
It?
No. It's always that first week in December.
Oh.
So lots to check out there. I think they're going to have some massive sales with what looks like to be a fantastic year coming up. And I think really kind of a cool deal. When you're looking at CWD results this year, it appears that most of the locations where it's been found, it's increasing in the state herd, which is not a good thing. It's confirmed in 6 hunter harvested deer, and that was all in the southeast part of the state. There's still 93 quote-unquote suspects that are out there, and the results from another 414 deer are pending. One of those suspects is from far western Minnesota, where a single CWD positive deer was sampled a year ago. And that was the first part of that. And Eric Hildebrand, DNR Wildlife Health Supervisor, was pulled that together. That is a buddy I used to work with. He used to work at KFAN Radio in Minneapolis. It's his son. And he's kind of following his dad's footsteps in the outdoors.
Wow.
So pretty cool deal. But yeah, nonetheless, they're still looking at the CWD scenario. And it's not good to see that going on. But we're still checking. Concern on the Wisconsin side is there's a lot of the checking has been tailing off because they haven't required them. As we talked about before, Don, it doesn't mean that they're going away. It's just that they're checking less and less. So kind of a concern there. On to Wisconsin, per the Wisconsin DNR, Natural Resources, they show that registered 182,000 deer so far, the 25-gun deer season, 86 antlered, 96 antlerless, 96,000. Compared to 2024, down 0.8% statewide, antler harvest down 2.6%, and antlerless harvest up 0.9%. Since the opening of the bow and crossbow seasons, Wisconsin have registered almost 300,000 deer, 1.1% ahead of last year. So the crossbow is starting to pick up the pace. I think one more people get associated with it. It's not that, oh, you shoot a crossbow. It's actually kind of fun as opposed to shooting a rifle, you know. So one of the things that I thought was a different take on it, the deer hunters in Wisconsin decreased slightly compared to 2024. Sales for deer hunting privileges, gun, archery, crossbow, conservation, patron, and sports licenses was 790,000, but 0.12% from the same time. So it's down. But, It's one of those things that
it's only down 0.12%.
0.12% is what it says here. So,
That's actually minimal.
It is minimal. I think that's one of those.
I don't know that we have any reports yet from Michigan.
No, and I'm looking.
I think they go through the end of the year. So
they do.
And yep. We'll give you an update on Michigan as that comes in.
Absolutely. And, of course, with a lot of the hunting still going on, whether it is a deer or it is a fish or it is a pheasant, whatever that might be, what is extremely important for most everybody is if you get a good photo of your take of your
harvest,
whatever, your harvest, exactly. So pulled this article out, and I think it's kind of good. I think it's targeting more hunting, but you can apply it to everything.
Sure.
And that's really a key piece to this. It's estimated that 2.1 trillion photos will be taken in 2025, and that's the average citizen takes 20 pictures a day. And that's crazy, but it's the nature of high-end cameras in their pocket at all times. I mean, really, Don.
Do you take 20 pictures a day?
No. I don't, but you look at the average?
I don't think so.
Average across the United States, I think you'd be very surprised. Again, I'm calling as I sees it. Right?
All right.
Yep.
Have you taken a picture today yet?
I don't know.
No, you haven't.
I have taken a lot more if I'm going somewhere.
Well, yeah, if you're out on your ski hill or in your boat or every time you catch a nice fish, I think I've seen every one of them.
Well, of course. Why would I not? They're worth every minute of it. They're worth every photo. Come on.
Yeah, well,
you got to admit, when I sent you that picture of that 40-inch king salmon, you didn't kind of go,
look like
whoa.
The other one.
Yeah, right. It was amazing. Yes. That was one of those I'll never, ever forget in my life. It's a PB, personal best, and it's one of those until you break it. It still has a great story behind it, so I'm not going to, you keep that. And that's one of those things.
Yeah.
It has a story behind it. And that's one of the reasons that I will say this. If you're like, I don't want to take a photo. You know what? If you have an amazing time wherever it might be in the outdoors and you don't take a photo to remember that, so when maybe 4 years down the road, you're like, oh, man, that was super cool. I remember that.
One thing we try to do, because I've been on group trips a lot, and try to take a group photo of every group when we go on a trip.
So
you can remember back in 2003 when you went to this particular lake, who was all there with you.
Yep, exactly right.
They kind of start meshing together after 20 years.
We had
some
good groups up at up at Cab. Some fun times with that as well. So maybe sometime down the road we'll
do that again.
Yeah, kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun. So really, when it comes down to it, making sure that photo is not just here's a picture of it, I'll hold the head and call it a day, or I'm going to hold the fish and call it a day. Making sure you have the fish cleaned off, or the deer you've got set up at the correct angle. You've got all those pieces and parts. So the setting is really important. Whether it's early or late in the day, do it. Golden light, obviously sunrise or towards sunset. That is absolutely, when we do photo shoots, I've been in, I don't even know how many photo shoots I've been part of. It's always, we got to be there first light, and we stop at about 10:30, 11 o'clock because the light is too high, too bright, too harsh.
Right.
And then we start filming again when it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and you film till it's not enough light to really make impact on what you want. So the real soft light is a big piece to this. So that's a big piece. Make sure you do that. Softer the light, the better the photo, and that's generally how that works. That's an easy one, and it helps photos pop, but it's also important to think about the setting. We take photos where they were shot, or at least in a setting that looks like where you'd hunt deer. The fall woods provide you with a lot of places to get nice settings. Wooded edges, they're great. Grass fields as well. The more habitat you see behind the deer, or if you're on a boat, if you get that, hey, we got a great whatever it might be in the background, the water or the lines that are running, you want to make sure you get that piece there. Having it hanging in the yard in the garage is not exactly what I would call a good setting.
You mean the shot there with the
yeah,
the deer after you've
gutted it
gutted
and
it
hanging
and
upside
you're standing
down
next to it and,
yeah. Yeah, or out of the bed of your truck.
Yes.
Like, oh, on man.
The
hood.
With a tongue hanging out over the end of the tailgate. Like, yeah. No, that's
before
not.
Before you do the nasty, take the picture.
It's just not good. And the.
We just got an example of that, you know, this fall.
Yeah. She did a good job of that.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Ava took a good shot.
We took lots of pictures, too.
Who was your photographer?
My dad.
Oh, okay. He just pushed a button?
Well, he used my phone.
Was he framing it? Okay.
Yeah.
How much you want to make a bet? Takes a photo, runs up and shows it to her, and she's like, no. Do it again.
No, it
was. Stand up here, do it this way.
When you're that happy, it's easy to take a good picture. You know what I mean?
It can be, if it's long as it fits the Ava criteria.
I always take a good picture.
Yeah, but you're not taking it.
Of myself.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, I'm really not. I do not take a good picture.
The cool part, though, is you had a great shot. And again, it was in the cover right where you, I suspect that was right where you were laid down.
Yep.
So important is get it as close to where you recover it as possible. And if you can't do it there, get it somewhere nearby so you can get some good light on it and you'll be good. When you position the deer, prop it up so you can see as much of the side as possible. Clean off the blood, snip any brush or whatever that's going to be in the way, lay it down, walk it down, step it down, and consider that the work in progress that you have to get to. Fish the same way. If you got blood dripping down the fish, take a hose it off. Just tell everybody
just
to hold their horses. Same exact deal. Great thing about cell phone is you can take a photo and look at it quickly and see what's going on. Is there a tree branch or something distracting in the way, or is there your buddy's kid that's dancing around in the background, you know, doing fingers over the top of your head? That's okay for a fun shot, but otherwise, again, making sure you have that. Shoot the photos, review them, make changes, shoot some more, and try to learn the camera feature to help with that. And sometimes I've even done panorama shots where it's kind of cool to do in those kinds of situations. So
you want a good tip?
Always.
Are you familiar with the rule of thirds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're taking a photo, let's say you take Ava with a deer, your subject matter needs to be either on the right third or the left third of the photo, vertical and horizontal. Because you can tell when a rookie takes a picture, your face is dead center in the middle of that square. And half the time it's below the center line. The horizon should never be at the middle of your photo. Horizon should either be on the top third or the bottom third.
As long as you can get your target to agree.
Well, it's more difficult when you're taking a photo of yourself.
It's impossible. I've tried that. You get the head of a fish, and that's about it. That's about it. So, again, cell phones are unbelievable, and that's a big thing. Understand how to run your cell phone. There's a ton of different options on there. You can do, and most recommended in a lot of these situations is when you talk about the flash. So if you have to take a nighttime picture, use a flash, but don't use other lighting with it. The flash will do it fine on its own. A flashlight shining on the noggin may be a good idea to keep focus, but it is not going to help you when it comes down to the actual photograph. It will come out extremely odd. So it may be nice for certain daytime pics. I always put the flash on when I'm shooting daylight pics. I always do, because it's going to highlight areas that may have a shadow created. And if you have a hat on and you have a shadow, it'll eliminate that as well. So that's an important piece of the puzzle. You'll see several options. It says plain old photo mode, use portrait mode. The setting provides interesting depth of field and can change and put the subject line. You can see where the subject focus is. So that's an important piece to it and helps a lot. So keep in mind that is an important piece of it. Get close and low. Guess what, Don? You're just saying that. It means propping your phone up on a cooler. That may help if you're solo or if you have someone else's to help you out. That could be good as well. So camera may be eye level with the buck or even lower. Then shoot straight broadside, angled from the front, which I love the angled quartering angle shot. That's always a good shot.
Yep.
It doesn't dominate just the whole deer laying there, but it highlights the fact that you have depth with the rack. If you happen to have a rack on the deer, and I think that's a key piece to it. And last but not least, when you're looking at storing it, have a backup drive and really utilize that and let that help save in case something happens to your phone. Even though a lot of them are uploaded to cloud, make sure that you do that, and it'll definitely help you adjust. But you can also do some post photo editing as well if you want to. There's obviously more extensive things that you can do once you're on the line. You can play with that. But all in all, I think good advice to making sure that you remember that that trip and can provide a maybe frameable possible
moment,
yep. Which is always something that you're looking forward to. Ava, what's your frameable moment from a photo in the outdoors?
Well, obviously the deer I just got. But you were talking about, you know, like turning it like to the angle to the side. And that's definitely my favorite picture of the ones that we took is where I've got them turned a little bit, you know, so you can really see just how wide he is. But of course, you do have to get the dead on as well.
Oh, yeah.
You got to do it. There's certain ones you just got to get, you know, the dead on. And then
you
turn.
You've seen the photos of the guys that shoot the bear. You know, they'll get a big bear, say 400 pounds, and then they sit way behind it. And they put their rifle up on the bear.
And then they put the
bear
looks
like,
front
now
of the
it looks
head,
like it's 1,200 pounds. Because mm-hmm. The guy is so small in the back.
And the problem with that is what?
Yeah.
That's all he does for his fish pictures. Hold it out in front. Make it bigger.
Hey, I did that when I was on with Perkins, you know, the TV deal.
Yeah.
I had a little perch, and I said, you know, the trick to taking photographs of fish? Big fish, little fish. Extend my arm, big fish, pull my back, little fish. That was, I couldn't get any more fun with that, but he was a crazy guy. But nonetheless, hey, guys, amazing how time flies, and you're having a good time. We are wrapping up. For Ava, Don, and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the outdoors, stay warm, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.